Whether you're a Mary or a Rhoda, you've come to the right place. You're listening to Rhoda and Mary, a podcast about friendship, feminism, and fun, inspired by the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Hey, Rhoda, do you know what I'm doing? I am changing my clothes at 8 o'clock at night so that I can go to a club where I'm going to lie about being divorced so that I can, perhaps in a few months' time, end up in Paris speaking Spanish. You too? You're the 10th person who's told me that today.
For whatever reason, and I can't even totally explain it to you, although I have a sneaky suspicion about why this is one of my favorite episodes, which we will get to.
Okay.
But I really find this episode to be funny, although in watching it this most recent time, I definitely was much more sort of tuned in to this thematic of the whole thing being about lying.
And thank you for pointing that out to me, because I did not pick up on that, but then watching it with that lens was so was fantastic, because that is it. That's all. It's like fitting in and lying to fit in.
Yes, lying to fit in, and it doesn't even really matter like what you're trying to fit into, whether you judge that thing or not. Like I wonder though if like that resonated with me more now because of the climate we live in, where facts are no longer it's hard to know the truth about everything in our society right now.
Okay, that's interesting too, because Mary just can't lie. She just can't. And so she, in a sense, for the time, right, her character is this outsider societally speaking, because she doesn't fit all the norms. And even as we go through this episode, as truthful as Rhoda can be, she still can't be totally truthful. So she's still a sneaky, sneaky person.
Yeah. She's the funny thing to me is like, she's kind of awesome at lying. Yeah. Yes. She does it so, so effortlessly and with such like.
And nobody cares about her lying. Yeah.
No. And she's not freaked out about it either. Whereas to your point, like Mary's anxiety over lies is kind of insane. Like it's a little over the top.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we come to find out like when you're someone as charming as Mary, like one lie can turn into a huge ordeal. So maybe that's part of the problem, but really Mary's the only person in this episode. I mean, I suppose Murray doesn't lie at all, but he's barely in this episode. But she's the only one that seems to have trouble with lying. Like we start with Ted Baxter lying about his answers for his fan club survey, whatever. Worried about if he says that his favorite dessert is baked Alaska. that sounds too, I don't know, feminine.
I like that he also defends himself and says it's not a lie. He's just kidding.
Right.
And I feel kidding. Like that's huge with people who do that. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I hate the just kidding thing. I hate that so much. Like when people are mean to you and then they'll say, just kidding.
Just kidding. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ooh, that's like a deal breaker for me. I'm like, all right, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yes. Agreed. But yeah, it's like, he does it with like the huge grin of I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And then he writes down apple pie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and just, I think the other funny thing about Ted and his lies is like, it just goes to show what a vapid person he is. Like, he doesn't even know what his favorite color is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
He, like, looks down at his jacket and he's like, blue. But, like, even, like, totally aside the point is the idea that, like, Ted has a fan club that wants to know these like that also just cracks me up.
Have you ever been in a fan club?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Have you?
No, I don't think I have either. But I'm married to somebody who most definitely has. Oh. I think these are important things in fan clubs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, perhaps we're just we haven't experienced the fan club mentality.
Get to know those things. Yeah.
It's just sort of funny how Mary's reaction, though, like she does react to Ted's like lying about what he's putting on in his survey. She reacts with like a real sense of like, I can't believe you would do that. Like,
yeah,
it's almost her morality around lying.
Yes. Yeah.
Right from the get-go is like very by the book.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because as hard as she tries to be liked, she still has to stand by telling the truth no matter what. And like, that's, you know, from day one with the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Well, so I don't know how likable Mary is in this episode, except that she's doing what Mary Tyler Moore does so well with that sort of exasperated, like
getting
roped into something she doesn't want to be roped into. And she just like throughout most of the episode, she's just like doing that voice that I feel like we did a really good impression of her in a previous conversation. She's like, she's like that the whole time.
There's even a moment towards the end when she comes clean, mm-hmm. when Rhoda stands up and says her line that kills me.
Yes.
The like, I've got something to say. You are lousy. And then they cut to Mary and she's making a face that looks like if she were to say anything, it would just be like, whoa.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm so glad you brought up that moment because I can tell you, like, that is the moment that I was like, I love this episode. Like, I find that to be the funniest thing that Rhoda, like, Mary's just bared her soul. And Rhoda's and she says, I just wish someone would say something. And Rhoda stands up and we think she's going to, like, save her. But the first thing Rhoda says is, I think that's a lousy thing you did.
Yes. It's so funny and it catches me every time and I laugh so hard.
Yes, and you're right. The cut to Mary's face is part of what makes it so funny. Mm-hmm. Mary can hardly believe that her friend
just threw her under the bus. Yes. Amazing.
And of course, you know, Rhoda then quickly lies. Fesses up too. Well, she quickly lies. But I mean, like, that is, I feel like when I first watched the series, I know I probably say this in every episode.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like this was, you know, four episodes in, like you're basically like, you're in it now. So it's like, you know these characters.
Right.
We've gotten through the best episode. Like, it just, I feel like I was really starting to dig it. And then that moment happened and I was like, all right, this is my favorite show ever. And I think I kind of attribute, I sort of hold this episode up on a pedestal, even though it's definitely not one of the best episodes ever. But I hold it up in that way just because I think it was the real like moment for me to like fall in love with the show and those two characters in particular.
Yeah. No, it's a very solid episode and it's very zany and, and it has a timestamp on it.
Sure.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Well, so just since we're on the topic of Rhoda, I really was looking forward to speaking to you about this episode mostly because of the workout scene.
Oh, my God. Okay. I don't know if I should feel offended because I am Rhoda, but that workout is
I don't mean it like
my workout.
I don't mean I wanted to talk to you because I envision that's how you work out. Because believe me, I don't work out like Mary. I work out like Rhoda too. That's the thing.
I literally in my notes have Rhoda's workout's my workout and the aesthetic. Like it's exactly. Oh my God. I started running a couple weeks ago, and that's actually how I run. It's like I'm just running.
just your arms. Yeah.
It's so great. And then she like has to stop and get water. It's fantastic.
I mean, it's like, it's also like a perfect, you know, Rhoda's in that moment. She's convincing, she's trying to talk Mary into, to telling this lie, to joining the club. and it's like, it just shows to like, both in their sense of like, the idea, their comfort with lying, it like sort of mirrors the way that they work out.
Completely. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Rhoda's totally comfortable with the lie.
Yeah.
And she'll probably go on that day to say how hard she worked out that morning too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like justified. Well, I worked out, so I can take it easy tonight. Like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like Mary's taking her workout very seriously, and like
and
she's
annoyed.
In an outfit.
Yeah, annoyed that the conversation's even happening, not even the subject matter, just that Rhoda's even talking.
Right.
So funny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I think that when Mary says jog, and like Rhoda goes into that motion, that like half jog motion. Again, I'm like, I just. Love both of them for the way that they are, like, and the way that they're friends.
I do too. It's perfect. And the sweats is perfect too. Like, yes. Mary's got like these black tights on and little black briefs and then a little t-shirt, and it's perfect. That's probably what you should wear. And then Rhoda has a tan sweatsuit on, like it's the worst color and it's huge.
Yes.
And it's literally my dream outfit.
I know. In watching that outfit, I'm like, that is basically what I've been wearing for the last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in that color tone.
That'd be hard to find. Yeah. It's clearly one of those like fantastic scenes. It's in Mary's apartment too, which you know, it's just like when I think of the show, it's like a screenshot of that comes into my mind.
That's very true. Yeah.
So but anyway, I also think one of the things that I love about Rhoda is like when she's making the pitch and trying to sell Mary on the fact that like if they join this club they could get flights to Paris for $300 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Which is a good price.
I mean, now it's a good price. Yeah.
But she, like, when she's selling Paris, she says something that's like, she says Gene Kelly. Like, as if
yes.
And oh, I go, God, like,
that's
oh.
You. That's for you. I know.
It's like, yeah, that's why you go to Paris.
Gene Kelly.
Like, oh, Rhoda, yes. Like, that
was really funny because I didn't, obviously, I heard that, but it didn't register with me how absurd that was. I was just like, yeah, Gene Kelly, yeah. That's a good point.
Like, not French. Doesn't live in France.
The movie's in American in Paris.
In Paris. Filmed in America on a soundstage. But yeah, I mean, I love totally. I would have succumbed to. You throw Gene Kelly, the mention of Gene Kelly in anything, and I'm sold.
You'll join the club. Yeah.
I will.
You join the fan club.
That would, you know what? When you asked about a fan club, I was like, that would be the one fan club I probably would join. Like is like a Gene Kelly fan club. But now that's just sort of weird. So,
right.
You know, since he's dead. But I even had like, oh God, this is probably admitting too much, but I have a picture of Gene Kelly.
Like framed in your home?
No. I mean, it's like, it was at my desk at work. And then I brought it home when we switched and started working from home because I kind of wanted to – I created my little desk space at home and I wanted to make it feel a little bit more like work.
Yeah.
So I put up this picture here above my computer, and it's a picture of Gene Kelly, and he's making sort of like a face, like he's sort of like, wah, wah. I don't know how to describe it, but he's making sort of a silly face. And like, my friend actually made it for me at work at my last job because I was having a bad day. Oh. And like, she put, she put text over the image, like, so it's just printed on like printer paper. But the text is like, Heather, I think you're doing great, Gene. So that's my little Gene Kelly inspiration day after day. Well, pretending Nathan, he thinks I'm doing a good job.
Nathan had this autographed picture of Brian Ferry.
Oh.
And we've most definitely got that framed and above the fireplace. It's for both of us, but mostly me.
That's great. Is it big or is it like an 8x10?
No, it's like a 5x7.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's very tasteful. Yeah.
Yes. And we have it next to a picture of me.
Perfect. I like this, sharing pictures in our homes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I can understand why Mary finally relents.
Yes. Okay. And I have to say, like, to go back to the benefits thing, I think, especially at that time, it was why a lot of people were getting married.
For the benefits?
For the benefits.
Yeah.
When you talk about joining this divorcee club, they're joining it so they can get tickets to go somewhere where people are getting married, you know, for the benefits of the time.
Yeah. And, you know, you come to find out by the end that everyone has joined this club for, quote unquote, the wrong reason, even though, like, right. I don't know that there is really a wrong reason, but
as like a singles mixer.
Yeah. Yeah. We come to find out that none of them are divorced except for like the three. Dr. Udall, his brother, and that other lady who's like checking them in.
Registration lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it's like Mary being all freaked out about lying. It's like that's what everybody else is doing. Like, and yes. Like you said at the beginning, it's like she's kind of an outsider in that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what that says about society. Or what that even says about Mary, that like, you know, it's like maybe she does need to kind of loosen up, and Rhoda's a good influence on her in a weird way. Like, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too, because it also just ends up feeling like such a club of weirdos. Like they really emphasize how weird everybody is.
Yes.
it's also like, okay, she can't lie. She loves to be a people pleaser, but like ultimately she's made this huge move, you know, and she's set up this new life because she's so staunch in her beliefs and, and what she wants. So
yeah.
I do think it's admirable. And yet at the same time, I do, of course I understand how important lying is and people pleasing and, you know, manipulating the truth to depending on situations. But yeah, she just can't. I think she can't even like get away with saying that she's just kidding, and she can't even get away with like not saying anything. She just has to be clean about everything.
Yeah. By being at the event, she somehow, and by the fact that she's got perfect teeth, and that impresses Dr. Udall. Total talk about weirdo.
Oh my god, yeah.
But we'll talk about him. But like she ends up being the vice president. And right. It's like that then means that she has to get up and lie some more. Like
right.
It's just right. And like the idea of having to keep lying, like one lie begets the next lie, and it's like
definitely the burden of how likable and personable she is.
Yes.
Maybe that's part of it, because people are drawn to her so much. She can't she can't really handle it when it gets out of control.
Yeah. And it's like she has to be careful in a way yeah. that Rhoda doesn't. Like,
yeah. But, yeah. Because like nobody's paying attention to Rhoda.
No. And I also think that like when they first arrive and Mary makes the mistake of saying mm-hmm. her name is Mary Richards. Mm-hmm. And then she gets asked the question, like, your maiden name? And she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rhoda immediately is like,
my name's Stefano? Yeah.
well, first of all, yeah, she pulls Stefano out of, like, nowhere. And then also the fact yeah. that she, when it's, like, her turn to answer her question, that she's like, oh, Miss Morgenstern. And she's got this whole story about how, oh, the program, the like NASA thought it'd be best yes. if I retained my maiden name. Like, she's got the whole thing figured out and has this whole elaborate story.
Like, she's been working on it for weeks.
Yes. And it just comes like, and it's like she's navigated the situation in a way that, like, Mary, I think, just continually is looking at Rhoda like, how the heck? Like,
yeah, yeah.
How did you
Who are you?
Do that?
Yeah.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah. It's people that just can't miss because Rhodas exist. They don't miss the beat. They've got something right there to say. And you're like, first of all, how did you come up with that? How did you come up with that so fast? And you've said just enough.
Right.
She can't say too much. And she makes a point of how she can't say too much. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she is in fine form, as usual.
Yes. Yeah.
I also love the set design of it.
I do, too. And the logo with yes. the horseshoe. Oh, the horseshoe.
It's so good. It's just the perfect amount of, like, 70s cheese. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it makes me really, like, there's something strangely appealing to me about that whole vibe.
Yeah,
like I all agree. The dark wood
the paneling. Yes. Yeah,
and I just like it. Really makes me almost just like wish that things. And I guess things probably do still exist like that, like mixers. But I've never really been to one like that. Like not
no,
since
yeah.
college, probably. I mean, yeah. even then, that wasn't obviously in a fantastic 70s like banquet hall.
Exactly. Or some Elks Lodge meeting room. Yes.
As soon as they get into the party, or like, you know, the meeting, it's like they're just surrounded by weirdos, which my favorite is Roy.
Oh, I was, yeah, great casting. That's like the most amazing casting with that Roy guy. It's like he was pulled out of central casting for like West Side Story background or something.
Yes. He's got the glasses too. Like he's got the whole look. And the idea that he keeps being like, this place is full of losers.
Losers. I'm gonna split.
Yeah. And then, but when he stands up to like give his truth and he does yeah. the like age
33-ish. Yeah.
He does the little like give or take, maybe. he's a perfect amazing. A perfect weirdo creeper. Like he's a loser.
Well, Hal said so.
Hal does say so, yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
But I think that also, like, that, okay, it's amazing because that's the prejudice that Mary has is it's going to be a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
But in her mind, it's going to be actual divorcees. And then we come to find out they're all single. Mm-hmm. And, like, the weirdos are all the single ones, which is also funny because, yeah, you've got that, basically the truth is not much further from the fiction.
That's such an interesting point. I never thought to like phrase it that way, that like the weirdos end up being the single people. Maybe that's why they're single. I mean, poor Mary and Rhoda aside.
I know, lumped into it.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, I also like, I couldn't help but wonder, you know, each of those characters, they're kind of like very well drawn. And obviously this is something we see time and time again throughout the show, but it also just makes me kind of marvel at none of these characters, as far as I know, return, certainly not in the first season. Mm-hmm. And like, it's almost like they've gone to such lengths to like really create.
Flesh them out.
Yeah. They do feel super fleshed out. Like,
yeah, it's true.
Even though
you can see the humanity in them.
Yeah. And so I was just sort of like imagining that maybe part of it is like, these are characters that were on the drawing board that maybe they did think about, you know. I guess that's always the situation though with sitcom television, is like, you never know when a character might become a regular.
True. Right. So you have to set them up strong.
Yeah. But I do think each one of these is like, is just so perfectly bizarre. Sparky, good Lord.
Oh man.
That woman Sparky. with her big smile.
Bubbly.
Sparkle and bubbly. She's got her lines that she said. Like, it's like,
yeah, yeah. I had a dream last night.
Yes. Like,
I think to emphasize what you just said, the writers must have known people just like this, because there's such specificity, especially the dentist too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, it's really true. Like, and I suppose too, like, there is something, even though the characters are like, all these weirdos are very almost caricature. Mm-hmm. There's something immediately relatable though. I feel like when Sparky comes on the scene, it's like, I feel like I know exactly who that woman is. Yes. And I feel like I've met Sparkies. Yeah.
Yes, totally.
You're just like, oh God, you know, it's fine. Like, you can hang out with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they are very well designed. And Dr. Udall, the scene where he's got
body parts in his home. Like, he's
well, he definitely has teeth.
Great.
He's got probably a tooth necklace.
Yeah. He wears to bed.
Yeah. When he's got Mary in his dentist chair and she's like confessing to him, and his personality changes on a dime. Mm-hmm. That is also like, it's funny, but it's also like, I feel like one of my biggest fears. I'm not really good with the dentist.
So yeah, her answer to the gums. Do you do the? I would assume it's flossing, or do you take care of your gums? And she does the, you know what? I can't remember exactly what she says, but it's something like, you know what you would do regularly, I guess. Yeah. Yeah,
he's like, you're into that whole bag or sort of whole scene.
Yeah,
flossing, chewing gum, like sugarless gum.
Sugar-free, yeah.
Brushing after meals. Yeah, I mean, I cringe every time. But
that's,
I also
really funny, because yes, the dentist is probably like the most accessible person you lie to.
That's true. That's a good point. Oh yeah, I floss twice a day, every day. Never miss it.
Every day. Yeah. I haven't just been doing it for the last 3 days before this appointment today.
Oh my God. I am actually the worst about the dentist. I don't go when I'm supposed to. I have weak teeth.
Yeah.
I have bad gums. Like, I'm actually the worst. So believe me, the lies I've told in that dentist chair have been.
Did you ever have a retainer or braces or anything like that?
No, I always had really straight teeth.
Oh, you are Mary. No, I asked that because I had retainers and I had braces and I had headgear.
You did?
And oh my God, did I lie to the orthodontist every single time.
Well, I feel like that's a really common thing. Like, everyone who had braces, it's like, you weren't supposed to eat certain things. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. Everyone would just do it.
Yeah. I was supposed to wear my headgear every night. It's impossible to sleep with that thing on.
Yeah.
And I would say, yep, I wear it every night.
That's so funny.
And then after my braces came off, I had to wear, you know, the retainers to keep that hard work.
Yeah, from going away.
And I would spit anytime I did put them in, I would spit them out in the middle of the night. It was just so painful. And I would say, yep, I'm still wearing them.
Wow. That's so interesting. Like,
but do you know what they would say?
They could.
I can really tell. It's looking good. And then I was like, great, good.
There you go.
I don't have to do that.
There you go. It's all a big ruse on all sides. But I mean, Dr. Udall too.
He's extreme.
He does it really well though. Like I feel like he walks the line of being creepy, but not so creepy.
Acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a Howard situation.
Right. Exactly.
Like, even though he's a bit weird and creepy, like I don't hate his
guts.
He's a fetish guy. Clearly. He sees Mary smile and then it's like over. He's obsessed with her.
Yeah. Tractor beam.
Yes. But he's one of the ones, as we mentioned, that is actually divorced, and it's like his club too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Which is also sort of interesting. Like, what kind of person starts that club, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And what's the goal then?
Right. I guess to pair off, right?
Or is it like group therapy to talk about like what went wrong? And
yeah, that's true. Well, because that's one of the things, we don't see it, but they do say like, oh, today we're going to
share the whole story.
Mary's like, oh my God. Like you see it in her eyes. She's like, I have to come up with a story. So, yeah, I guess maybe you're right. It does sort of seem more likely for his character that he's there for the like self-help support.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I'll start this group to sort of smooth over the pain of this thing that happened to me.
Yeah, which actually is a good. I think that sort of brings up this idea that I did want to discuss of just like, what's worse, being single or being divorced? Because Rhoda and Mary do have like a discussion early on when they're sort of, Rhoda's trying to talk Mary into joining this club, about like, wouldn't it be nice to be able to say,
I'm divorced
instead of saying, single. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, you know, I feel like I think that's very interesting given the time.
Yeah.
Because in 1970, was it better to be like at that point, was divorced status becoming like, oh, actually, that's kind of maybe kind of cool.
I think it was less than like. Okay, I think it was that there was this like mad rush and societal pressure on getting married ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
And that by the time you were like 30, pushing 30 or past 30, you were done for.
Yeah.
And so like needing to find a way to explain why they're 30 or beyond and they're not married, I can see it being easier to say they're divorced. Like, oh, I already went down that route.
Yeah.
It's just speaks to the time. Like, I think it just speaks to the time because I wouldn't say in today's time, divorced and single both sound like the same thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, there's just a different level of acceptance. It's like, in society. So like it takes some of that pressure off of like being something that like, even if you personally are ashamed of how something turned out or you're obviously upset about how it turned out, it's not something that is then going to like scar you or like, you know, you're not Hester Prynne with a freaking A on your chest. Like it's just fine. It's just part of the game. Like it's just part of life. Some relationships last and some don't, and some go on longer than they should, and some
exactly
don't get a chance. Like, you know,
better luck next time.
But better luck next time. Like, there's always a next time, right? Another go round. Picking, if you had to date someone from the better luck next time club, who would you date? I'm wondering if you've picked your person.
At first I thought I could only pick if I just changed teams.
I thought of that too. I mean, love is a spectrum. You know.
And obviously if I did that, I would date myself. No.
Oh, wait, I should say though too, like Rhoda and Mary are not options.
They're off the table. Yeah, then never mind, because Sparky seems like she could turn into like a liability. I thought I'd probably go for Roy because he'd probably just it's a safer bet of being able to call it off with somebody like Roy. Everybody else seemed a little too needy.
That is such a great like reasoning. Roy would be the quickest to just be like, yeah, whatever, you're a loser.
Yeah, I'm out. Exactly. Yeah. He can't even put the time into finishing a conversation. So.
Oh, very wise choice.
Thank you. What about you?
Well, I'm kind of super impressed with you that you like figured that out, because I immediately dismissed Roy. I'm like, there's no way I'm dating Roy. Like, can't handle that. Nope. No way. So I was thinking, and I, as we mentioned, can't deal with Dr. Udall. That would be too weird. So yeah. I actually, and Sparky can't handle her. Like,
yeah, no.
Although there is that one moment when she comes in after she was going to leave with Hal, and she sort of seems normal. It's like she's taken off her.
The veil
of being sparky and bubbly.
And
like she kind of seems like, oh, actually you probably are okay, but
no, she's but not.
Still like I'm not sparky. I would pick Hal, and I think only because Hal,
because he's tall. That's the only like calling card he leaves. If you want a tall one.
Well, that's just it. That's actually my reasoning. Not that he's tall, but that like he doesn't really give a whole lot away. Like, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume he's not super crazy. Although he does do that bit where he grabs Mary's hair and like he's saying that like if she wore her hair up, she'd look just like his ex-wife. And then he like puts her hair up for her, and she's sort of like completely flabbergasted by the fact that he just grabbed her hair, as one would be.
Also, his car is a camper van.
Right.
Right. As your friend, I'm going to throw up the flags here.
It's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to rethink Hal.
Hey, you could only go on a date with him if it was a double date with me and Roy.
Oh.
So then I could help you get out of it.
That would be good.
All right, Heather, better luck next time.
Aw, better luck next time. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed yourself, we hope that you'll subscribe. Wherever you're listening, if you want to give us a rating or a review, we would really appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram @Rhoda and Mary. We'll see you next time.